Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, or however you choose to identify, welcome to View from the Top Rope, where we discuss anything and everything about this wild and wacky world that we live in. I am Chad, coming to you from Zeus's Treehouse, and I am joined remotely by the co-host with the mostest, my good buddy, and the man who is rocking, you know, probably one of the favorite t-shirts I've ever seen him own, honestly. It is the big baby daddy Diesel!
And joining you from Diesel's Damper Dungeon of Delight. I know I messed it up. I was just going with it. You do it all the time. Like, you'll say something wrong and you know it, and then you just keep going with it. But I call you out, you call me out. It's fair game. Teasing t-shirt time a little early in the show, because you're just going to have to wait to get through this first segment till we get to that segment and find out what t-shirt I'm wearing this week.
Yes, but to quell your foreshadowing needs, we're going to just go right into that first segment, which as always is the Top Rope Rewind. So Diesel, what's your Top Rope Rewind this week, buddy?
I mean, I really don't have much. Last week when finished up the podcast, I had some white chicken chili cooking. So I ate that last Wednesday and had the leftovers on Thursday. And it was really good. I liked it a lot. Definitely doing it again. Putting it on the list of like dinners and stuff like that. It was delicious. Especially with the Fritos. Because, I mean, who doesn't like Fritos? Tell you who doesn't. Commies, they don't. That's who doesn't.
Exactly. Communists don't like Fritos. If you have someone who doesn't like a Frito in your life, they're a communist, and you need to report them. Obviously.
Yeah, so, watch Loki while I was eating my white chicken chili last week. Didn't see this week yet. I'm going to sneak it in before the Bucks game tonight, after we're done recording. But yeah, I haven't watched the season finale yet, but I'm very excited. I liked last week's episode a lot, and all the memes from last week were hilarious. They do a really good job with the Loki memes. I like it. I worked, delivered pizzas Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It was kind of busy. So, I mean, that was a little lame because Sunday I wasn't the closer, so I was pretty jacked because I thought maybe I'd get out of there a little early. I didn't get out of there until like 8:30, and most like I didn't get home until like the end of the third quarter of the Bucks game. So, yeah, whatever. And I did pretty good in tips, so I mean, it's not the end of the world. And the Bucks won, and at least I got to see the end of it. That's the most important part, as I've been told. Not for me though. I need to see the whole thing. Because it's just the way I am. Watched a classic movie on Sunday, The Great Outdoors. Movie I've seen 100 times, but it never gets old.
One of the best movies of all time.
You finished the entire thing. I was going to say, did you see it too this weekend?
No, I didn't. But I mean, I quote that movie from beginning to end. I've watched it so many times.
Oh, it's a great movie. Emily never saw it before, so I watched it with her. And, like, there's just so many good parts. The old 96er.
No, he's not finished. What do you mean? He's eating the whole thing. All that's left on the plate is gristle. All right. If I can get him to stuff that down, can you throw in some t-shirts and ice cream for the kids?
He goes, he's like, if I can get a couple desserts down him, yeah, will you throw in some hats for the kids? And then they walk into the cabin. They're all wearing hats. It's great stuff. I love Dan Aykroyd in that movie because he's such an unlikable guy that it makes him likable in the movie. Like, he's such good at being the asshole. It's a great movie.
Big Bear. Big Bear chased me.
Also watched Black Widow Monday night. Wasn't planning on watching it because we don't currently have access to paying for things on Disney Plus, and I don't have time to like plan out going to the movie theater. So like this was all a spur of the moment thing too, because we found it. It probably wasn't legal, but we're not going to get in trouble for the way we found it. So yeah, free for us. We watched it, liked it. You know, Chad and I had a discussion about it last night. My thoughts, I'm not going to give anything away, none of the story or anything like that. My thoughts are it's probably bottom of the top half of the MCU. I can definitely think of worse ones, but I can also definitely think of better ones. I really did like the fight scenes. Like that really like raised its stock with all the fight scenes that are pretty cool and stuff like that. But wasn't the greatest, but it was still enjoyable. It's like a movie I definitely rewatch, and like I wouldn't be mad about it either. But good performances. Bold last night. Did decent. I think that's all I got. My week was not super eventful.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about how my past week has gone. It's been just one of those weeks it's been another week, because really haven't done much at all. Just been on my normal workout, still doing my Peloton rides and everything like that. Feeling good from that. So still going through those. I obviously have already watched the finale of Loki, because I get up at 8 o'clock on Wednesdays to watch it right away after Allison leaves, because that's what I do. Like, because she doesn't watch the show. So the minute she's gone, time to sit down, crank up the volume, and watch Loki. Awesome. P.S. Definitely, without question, my favorite of the Marvel series so far. And I can say that now as a resolute fact without a problem. Also, I did go see Black Widow this past Thursday for opening day. And yeah, I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I would agree with Diesel that it's right around the middle of all of the just giant MCU movie selection, where I enjoyed some things and I disliked others. Besides that, I did have pad thai last week after we finished recording. It is definitely by far my favorite dish that my wife Allison cooks. And it was probably the best she has ever made. And I ate so much that I honestly am pretty sure I gained at least 4 pounds after I was done eating, because I had 5 servings of food and I thought I was going to die. I have not actually eaten that much food since the old days. Diesel, you remember back when we had Peking Buffet here in Sun Prairie, the Chinese buffet place, where you would go in and you would eat yourself until you thought you were going to explode. And I had not done that until this last week when Allison made pad thai, where I couldn't stop myself, Diesel. I just kept going up and I kept getting more food, just like Peking Buffet.
That was me on 4th of July.
See, everyone has their moments where you can't stop yourself. It's so good. You just keep going. You're like, I don't need this. But you go, but I'm going to have it anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, besides that, I mean, I haven't really done much over this past week. It's been a pretty quiet week in the world of, I guess, my life. So I don't have a lot else to say. So I guess that's going to wrap up the Top Rope Rewind. Whoop! And if we have more to talk about later, you know that we'll interrupt whatever segment we're in to talk about it, because that's what we do. Well, let's just crack right on to the next segment of this show. And that is, of course, T-shirt time. So, Diesel, I foreshadowed it earlier, but what you rocking this week, buddy?
This week, I'm doing something a little different. Usually I wear wrestling t-shirts every single week, and I rarely stray from that unless it's a special occasion. And this week falls under that category. I'm not wearing a wrestling shirt. This week I am wearing my Buck shirt that I got a couple weeks ago. It's pretty awesome. It's the shape of Wisconsin, and in the shape of Wisconsin, it's basically a bunch of Giannis Antetokounmpo stuff. It is Greek Freak, Fear the Deer, has the Milwaukee area code, Bruce City, Bucks, everything. It's a great Bucks t-shirt. I actually have another one on the way that's just probably won't wear it on the podcast, so I'll let you know. It's just the Fear the Deer postseason 2021. And if they do come back and win the NBA Finals, I'm definitely buying an NBA championship shirt because you gotta. I even contemplate buying an Eastern Conference champion shirt if they don't, because it's been a fun ride, and I'm wearing this shirt because later tonight, as of recording, it's game four. So when this podcast is released, everyone will know the results of that game, and you will know whether the Bucks win or lose, how I'm feeling in the morning. Because if they lose, it's almost all but done for them. But if they win, it's a brand new series.
Game on.
Game on.
Car. Yes. As I said, I really dig that t-shirt, though. It is a badass. If you're a Bucks fan, you can, I'm sure, look that up on the internet and find it. I don't know where you got that from, Diesel.
I got it from Fanatics.com.
Check out Fanatics.com. Just a free plug, whatever. They definitely don't need our fucking business.
No, they don't.
The t-shirt, though, that I'm rocking this week is in honor of another thing that actually occurred today, which is obviously the Loki finale coming out. And this is the t-shirt from RippedApparel.com. And it is a do not upset the sacred timeline, do not cause mischief. And it is in the style of Monopoly with the do not pass go, do not collect $200. But instead of it being the Monopoly pieces, it is Loki being dragged by one of the TVA agents with the Miss Minutes up in the top on the shirt. And it's, of course, in a wonderful Kelly green, because it has to be in green because it's a Loki t-shirt. And, you know how I love a good green t-shirt. So, yeah, I fucking love this t-shirt. Got it from RippedApparel.com. Of course, they release three new t-shirts each and every single day. You get each of those t-shirts for $13 each. They are always awesome. So many different fandoms and things like that. They also have a huge back catalog of t-shirts you can get. And then they also have the Reaper's Choice, which is a set of, I think, 10 t-shirts each week that you can get for a discounted price. So check out RippedApparel.com. And when you buy a t-shirt from them, tell them you from the Top Rope sent you. Then they'll sponsor this podcast. And maybe we'll get Diesel some low-key t-shirts. I bet he'd like it. Woo-hoo. But that will wrap up T-shirt time. So let's crack on to the next segment. And this is where you get all the happenings and goings-ons for all of your favorite podcasts on this blue globe that we spin on, that cover everything from podcasting itself to pro wrestling to pop culture to D&D to video games to UFC to football and everything in between. It's time for Visionaries Global Media News. All right, Diesel. It's time for my coffee break, so why don't you kick off with your portion of the news?
Starting off with Magnificent Matt Willis. You can follow him on Twitter at TheMadAttackUK. This week's news, Dungeons and Junkies double bills continue this Friday and next Monday. Friday sees Matt back in the alleged control as the next part of the adventures in Edenoi head towards the chaotic second season finale. Tune in on Friday to hear what the Order have to deal with. Monday might see Chad back in the chair to send the team back into more hellish adventures in the world of his own creation entitled Escape from, you know it, I don't apparently, but I'm going to say Wolf Arm.
Hey, you got it right, folks.
That's what I've been saying for like the last 2 weeks.
No, that time you got it right. You know it. All the listeners know it. They're on my side.
And I feel like there's some like mixed messages here in this news here.
Little shade thrown, feel like. Go fuck yourself, Matt. The episode will be coming out. So, yeah. Finale of the battle with the Taminator. It's going to be great.
Chris Talks Games is back on Saturday with the man himself bringing you all his takes on the news, what he's been playing, and, of course, his subject of the week. But she didn't tell us what it is, so you're going to have to tune in to find out. That's how you do it, Matt. You're getting really good at this promoting your shows thing. And I'm not joking. I'm being serious. Hey, moving on to Five Rounds. You can follow Megs, Quite Funny Diesel, at Podfather Megs. Five Rounds this week after the controversial end to McGregor versus Poirier. I think the UFC stays in the lightweight division with Islam Makhachev looking to emulate friend and teammate Khabib Nurmagomedov in becoming UFC champion. In his way stands Thiago Moises. Listen to Five Rounds on Tuesday for all the action.
Great. Great job, Diesel. I feel like you definitely nailed those names.
Moving on to Banned from Ringside.
This is Banned from Ringside.
This week, the boys discuss AEW Night 1 of Fyter Fest. NXT has a title match and a big angle at the end of the show. Raw and SmackDown have their go-home shows leading to Money in the Bank, and they will break it down like DX and give their Money in the Bank predictions. It's available every Friday for iOS and Android devices, wherever you listen to your podcast. Please leave them a 5-star review on iTunes, Podchaser, and Stitcher. And remember to listen, share, subscribe, repeat, baby! And a little sidebar.
Sidebar?
The only bell we had on the podcast last week was JCB, Jason Cornelius Bell himself.
Nailed it.
Where are we going now? Where are we going? Who's next? Here we go. It's all jumbled in my DMs. Bunch of group chats like mess everything up. So nothing's in order. Okay, now we're going with Chain Wrestling, episode 33. Chain Wrestling Live. The lads go live. Megs is great. Sai is nervous. Austin vs. Rock. Listener entertainment stories. Lots of live interactions. Puddle of Mud. Tight turnstiles. I know all about those. Manowar. Kissing a homeless man. And all the usual nonsense. And there's no SJP Wrestling Pod this week.
Nice.
Said it right here. I'm not just saying that this time. There really isn't. Got nothing from Radio Techers. I'm sure they're going to talk about how England lost the Euro Cup because I actually am hip to what's going on in the soccer world.
Wow, look at you, Diesel.
It went down to the penalty kicks. This is pretty crazy. And, I mean, I'm not throwing any shade on England or the English fans or English high flyers that listen to this podcast, because I know how it feels to lose a big game in overtime. It is heart-wrenching, and I feel for you, and like, I can't make fun of you for that, because it is one of the most devastating things ever. So I feel for you guys. Yeah, the ringside rant. And so this week, JD needs to take a personal day. So RJ will be flying solo this week with his special guest, who's on Twitter at WizmanSucks, from at Crime in Sports and at Murder Small. I'm sorry, I don't know what anything I just said was, but you can follow those Twitter accounts, and maybe you'll know more than me. That's Ringside Rant, and I think that just leaves the Brainbuster Boys. I don't even know if there was a new episode this week. I've been busy. We had some chatting with Brett in our group chat, and found out what he would liquidify his assets for. And that's something that cannot be mentioned on this podcast, but typical Brainbuster stuff. Be sure to check out all the backlog of the Brainbuster Boys, because I can't tell you what happened or what Greg Goldman did this week. So check out Brainbuster Boys right here on Visionaries Global Media. That's all I have.
Very soon, they're going to have that interview with the X-Men people. So get very excited for that culmination of all of the things they have talked about for the X-Men. And then don't worry, boys. I am still hyper salty that you assigned me Cyclops. I'm still pissed about it. But yeah, it's my turn for the news now. We start with the MGB Wrestling Podcast. The MGB Wrestling Podcast will be back this Monday with another brand new episode featuring all the boys, obviously, reviewing probably another independent show that has either happened recently or maybe we'll get a retro episode. But we'll definitely have a new episode this coming Monday. For the Good Cop, Bad Cop Wrestling Podcast, Ram and Matt will be welcoming a trio of fellow podcasters onto this Sunday's episode into the Good Cop, Bad Cop Wrestling Podcast studios.
It's convoluted.
To find out who it is and to nominate your own hashtag fan cop moments, check out the GCBC Twitter feed on Friday.
Should we make that any longer?
No. Probably could. Throw a few more things in there. For my podcast, I don't know. I'm sorry, folks. I got a lot of things going on.
It was once a thing.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm just, yeah, they were a thing and they will be a thing again. Just, I don't know when. Hopefully very soon. But with that, it is time for everyone's favorite time of the week, where we get to find out all of the great wrestling that is coming up here in the Midwest, because it is time for the Midwestern Wrestling Roundup.
Yeehaw!
Let's get them, partners. All right, and it's that time of the week where we turn it over to our Hawaiian shirt wearing, visor sporting, beer guzzling, the Midwestern Prince of Positivity, and our Midwestern Wrestling correspondent, Tom, for the news.
What up, High Flyers? Your Midwest Wrestling Roundup for the week of July 12th, 2021. July is rolling on like a fucking train. First and foremost, we have a huge announcement as Fourth Wall Wrestling is returning like a phoenix from the ashes, with the shows at Buena Vista, Milwaukee on August 27th, September 17th, and October 15th. Joe let me know for the first show, he has signed Joey the Jet Avalon, Evil Sierra, Jake Something, and Rohit. Hit me up for details if you want tickets. Next, we have Galley Pro running shows at the Galley Arena and Berwyn's Eagles Club on July 18th and July 27th, featuring Mech Wolf, Aries, and Mil Mortes, who I actually just met last week, by the way, High Flyers. Then we have Zoloff running July 16th at the Northside Barbecue in Oregon, Illinois, with their Fan Appreciation Day. Next, we have AWF is running at the Ashby American Hall in Ashby, Minnesota on July 16th with their show, Patriot Slam. Also running July 16th is ACW with their show, Willie Beeman's in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. In the last show on July 16th, we have One Fall Entertainment with their show, Feel the Burn, at the Cheers of Chilton in Chilton, Wisconsin. Next, you have Bruce Cedar Wrestling with several shows, but the main show is July 17th at the Elks Lodge in Waukesha with their show Red, White, and Bruised. Warrior Wrestling returns with their Stadium Series in Chicago Heights this Saturday, July 17th, with many talents signed, but I'm most excited for Davies Richards' first appearance for Warrior against the Octopus, Jonathan Gresham. Yo. Next, we have Frozen Tundra Wrestling returned to the venue on River's Edge in Waterloo, Wisconsin, on Friday, July 23rd, with their show Flashpoint, featuring new champ, the Roadhouse, James Vincent. Wicked Fucking Wisco with another show of chicanery and debauchery with their show Disorder, Sunday, July 25th at the Como Inn at Lake Geneva. Also, we have Premier Pro Wrestling that runs every Saturday in Woodstock, Illinois, at their Premier Pro Wrestling Studio. Tickets are limited, so I suggest you get them ahead of time. Mondo Lucha returns to Taco Fest August 1st, 2021, but rumors are scrambling to return to Turner Hall this fall. And you guessed it, last but never ever least is ICW Milwaukee with their show The Rose Dynasty versus ICW Milwaukee on Saturday, July 24th at Tanner Paul Hall in Mustallica. With a rivalry that's been brewing for months coming to a head, front rows sold out, second rows going quick. Stay tuned for more details in the coming weeks. The summer of fire action here in the Midwest continues into August with more details coming soon. Plus, I'll be at several of these shows wearing my Hawaiian shirt, sport my visor, and guzzling some beer. So if you see me, stop by and say hi. Your next drink is on me, whether it's leaded or unleaded. Also, if any promoters or wrestlers have anything you'd like Tom to put over, tweet me at High Five Tom. That's the number five, not spelled out. Lastly, a friendly reminder from High Five Tom and Visioners Global Media to all fans. Remember, all cards are subject to change. See you next week, High Flyers.
And that will wrap up the Midwestern Wrestling Roundup. Whoopsh.
Yeehaw.
You're welcome, partners. All right. With that, Diesel, it is time for a view from the top rope and Visionaries Global Media News.
So, I got nothing. I know that Chad sent me an email. He didn't tell me he sent me an email, but I saw it, of somebody that wants to join the network. I haven't got around to listening to the podcast yet, but maybe I will tomorrow. Because I totally didn't think about it today. But so maybe, just maybe, we'll have some new podcasting content on Visionaries Global Media in the very near future. Next week on View from the Top Rope, it is our old classic format, one of your favorite segments of all time, the Mystery Brainbuster of the Week. So we will be asking for your questions. You know the rules. It's the Dej Kirkby cap. It's three questions. It can be about whatever you want. And we have to answer them. So that's next week. Other than that, I got nothing.
Wow. Where can people hit us up if they would like to join Visionaries Global Media?
And you can hit me up on Twitter at Diesel_VFTR. You can also send in your podcast, like the person that did this week that I haven't listened to yet. You can send it into visionariesglobalmedia@gmail.com. And I will eventually get a listen to it. And you're almost a shoo-in to be added.
It's true. And you, of course, listen to all of these great podcasts we have here on such podcasting platforms as Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and just so many others. I'm serious. Just type in Visionaries Global Media into a search engine. You will find us on a podcasting platform you enjoy. And if you don't, hell, hit us up on our Twitter, which is at Viz Global Media, and we'll get added to that podcasting platform just for you, because we're that great of guys and great people, because that's what we do. You know, we're here to try and spread the joy of podcasting greatness, and that's what we have here on VGM. So please, if you'd like to join the VGM, hit us up, because the doors are closing on this subway tram, and the train is about to leave the station, and there will be no more people added very soon. So please, if you'd like to be added, get in while the getting's good. But with that, that is all the news that is fit to listen to. All right. It is once again that time of the week. You voted in the poll, and finally, Diesel and I got what we wanted, and Movies and TV has finally won the poll after 6 weeks. So, boys and girls, I am not going to beat around that bush at all. It is just time to hit that sound effect so we can head into the Top Rope Topics.
Top rope topics. Top rope topics. Top rope topics.
I'm not kidding, folks. Diesel and I honestly considered we were so shocked that we might have to cancel the show for this week, because we thought no way in hell would Movies and TV ever actually win this poll, because it was just shockingly how, like, it never won so far. And so thank you all so much for finally giving this to us. But yes, it is time for Top Rope Topics. And I think it is my turn to go first for my Top Rope Topic. So this week, on the topics of movies and TV, I am going to... This is definitely movies more than TV, because I want to talk about Marvel villains for what my Top Rope Topic is. And after seeing Black Widow this past week, and I guess spoiler warning a little bit here, the use of the villains in Black Widow were my least favorite part of the entire movie. The family dynamic, the actual characters themselves, Black Widow, her little sister, her father, her mother, all the people involved in that part of this movie. Absolutely chef's kiss. Loved everything about it. Anything else about the movie, though, was nothing. There is not a rememberable character from the rest of that film besides the four main characters in that movie. And none of those four main characters include either of the villains. One being Taskmaster, which was one of the coolest villains in all of the Marvel Universe who's ever created. And just, though is very basic in what his skills are, his skills also can transcend to so many cool levels. And also, the other villain of the piece is just the overarching I control secret agents villain, who doesn't even... Like, I saw the movie this past Thursday, and I couldn't tell you his name. And this lends to the bigger problem of Marvel in general. Marvel itself, besides a few quality outings, has really struggled to try and create an actual rememberable villain. And you can go back to any of the Thor movies, as you love the Thor movies so much. Besides Loki himself, the Thor villains are
I don't know. I think that Ragnarok, Hela, is a good villain, because there's a lot that doesn't need to be said. And I know she's not in the movie a ton, but like at the end, like, she's pretty powerful, and like they have you thinking, like, what is going to happen here? And I never thought that, I mean, I didn't read the comics, so I don't know. But, like, I never thought that it was going to destroy Asgard. You know, like, I thought she was a pretty good villain. I mean, obviously, Loki is the man. Dark World, I would definitely agree with you.
I mean, and that's... Same
Ragnarok.
That's so unfortunate for Dark World, because Chris Eccleston, a.k.a. the Ninth Doctor, one of my favorite doctors from the Doctor Who franchise, deserves so much more in that movie. But then, you're right. All right, I'll give you Hela, and I'll give you Loki. Then we can keep going. We go to, like, Ant-Man. We go to the Yellow Jacket. Just absolute trash. And then in the second Ant-Man movie, we had Ghost, and we had Titan. But we didn't really have any villains in it. The actual villains in these movies are never actual villains, which is what the really pisses me off about a lot of these movies. Because I love them. I do. Deep down.
Another example for you. Iron Man 3.
Hey, Iron Man 3 is the one I will die on this hill. Iron Man 3's villain is the perfect Marvel villain. Because that's what all the villains are. They're all just a fucking imagination. They don't mean anything. And the fact that they had an actor playing the Mandarin from a giant corporation who had it, just, I love it. I'll die on this hill. Iron Man 3 is one of the best Marvel movies that no one gives any respect to.
I like Iron Man 3. I didn't say I didn't. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. It wasn't what you thought it was going to be, so I kind of thought it made it a little weaker. But, I mean, I can see your point as well. I have another one for you. I want to just see where you would rank this villain as, like, whatever. So, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Michael Keaton as the Vulture, top five Marvel villains. Relatable. And just so awesome in the way that everyone has been that kind of person where, hey, I'm a small little kind of, I'm a small person in a giant world. Suddenly the big man comes down and says, I can't do my job anymore. Well, I'm going to find a way to do my job anyways. And that's what Michael Keaton does. So I love Michael Keaton, top five.
Ego.
Ego, oof. See, this is... I go back and forth because I want to love it so much more than I do. And it's probably because I've read the comics that I think Ego is great in the way he's portrayed in the movie, but I hate that he is killed so easily. Ego in the comics is one, like, a celestial. He's an eternal. He is, like, one of the all beings, like, you're not going to kill him with a simple bomb. Like, and don't get me wrong, I love that scene with Baby Groot and everything, but no way in fuck is Ego being killed by a bomb, all right? He is, like, one of the oldest things in all creation in the Marvel Universe.
Hey, I want to ask you, like, kind of off topic from villains, but Queen... Guardians 1 and Guardians 2, what one would you rank higher?
So, and this comes back to my villains conversation, because I can actually bring it back there, because Guardians 1 would rank higher for me if Ronan the Accuser wasn't the most boring piece of garbage that I have ever seen in my life. Like, he has nothing. He's what? Oh, he's the holder of the Power Stone? Yeah, that's his entire fucking gimmick, all right? There is nothing, and he should be so much better. So the fact that you have Mantis being introduced, you have the evolution of Drax's character, you have Peter finding out about what his MCU lineage is, though it differs from the comics, it has to be Guardians 2. And also, the end of Guardians 2 is the greatest thing. Like, Yondu's funeral, like, it still brings a tear. Like, thinking about it, I want to cry right now as the Ravager's funeral, because it's so great.
And plus, Guardians 2 has Sylvester Stallone. Like, sure. Just randomly. He doesn't need to be in that movie. He has, like, the smallest part in the world, but he's there. Like, yep. I think that's actually pretty awesome. But, yeah, I would agree. I really like Guardians 1. But, like, when you put all the pieces together, Guardians 2 is definitely a better movie. And I got an argument with somebody at work about that. And then they proceeded to tell me that Doctor Strange was their favorite movie. And I'm just like, I'm not even talking to you anymore.
Yeah, and then we can move on to Doctor Strange, go back to villains. And who's the villain of that piece? Can anyone tell me his actual name? And if you say, yeah, you're lying to yourself. You looked it up on IMDb. You don't know. You don't know what his fucking name is.
I've seen the movie 3 times, and yeah, I couldn't tell you who the villain is.
And that's the biggest issue with Marvel movies as a whole. And I will give it to Marvel detractors. I don't like to usually ever say, you know what? You're right about something. But you know what? You're right. Marvel has a serious issue with trying to build a compelling villain. And I, knock on wood, I'm not going to say too much. But I think they are definitely laying a groundwork to build a very compelling villain for going forward into the following phases after how great Thanos actually was as a multi-stage villain. So I really am hopeful for Marvel going forward, but I also will not forgive the past sins and also Black Widow wasting Taskmaster so much. I am going to say, right now, as my final part of my main event topic this week, is that as a whole, I would give Black Widow a 7 out of 10. And just, it was probably my least favorite Marvel movie in the past 5 years.
When did Doctor Strange come out?
5 years ago.
Okay.
It was probably longer ago than that, actually. I don't know.
Okay, so then take away Thanos, because it's just like how you can't say Infinity War and Endgame is your favorite movies, because obviously that's the cream of the crop. Like, everyone's going to say that. So obviously,
you can't Thanos, say the seventh Harry Potter book is your favorite Harry Potter
book.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, yeah, obviously Thanos is the best villain from the MCU. So take away Thanos, who would rank as your top three villains in the movies?
In the movies, it would have to be then, so I'll go 3-1. So number 3, I would have to say, is Loki. I think Loki as a villain in both Thor and then the first Avengers movie, and then as kind of an anti-hero throughout the rest. Number 3. Number 2, I don't like to, you know, keep playing this, you know, Thor card, but you're 100% right. And number 2 is Hela. Hela was so good in Thor Ragnarok. Taika Waititi just fucking got it and knew what to do with a villain. And then number 1 is the most obvious one. And though I will debate how good the whole movie is, the actual villain portrayal is so perfect. It's the Red Skull. The Red Skull and Captain America First Avenger. He is just chef's kiss. Just spot on. Perfect portrayal. And yeah. And then even when it's not the same actor in Infinity War and Endgame, it's still great. Red Skull is definitely the greatest, besides Thanos, villain of the entire MCU.
I guess I never really, like, put it in perspective the way you've put it with, like, the villains and, like, trying to think of my top three. It's kind of hard to argue those three. Like, definitely, like, so Loki was the entire reason I originally purchased Disney Plus in the first place. And then I ended up dropping my subscription because money, and now I don't pay for my subscription, but yeah, family, not a family plan. So
as Dom Toretto would say, family.
Yep. So Yeah, so Loki was definitely the reason why I wanted Disney Plus in the first place, because he was always, out of all the characters in the MCU, was somebody that I really liked from the first Thor, just because I really liked the brother aspect and how, like, he turned his back when he found out that he was adopted, and, like, I really like his magic and, like, so many cool things about Loki. So, yes, he's definitely one of the best ones. And Hela, it was just... Thor Ragnarok is just such a great movie. Like, it's, and like, she doesn't need to be in it that much, but like, when she's in it, it's like, damn, like, she does definitely has like a Thanos feel to her. Like, I, and also with her being Thor and Loki's sister, also, like, I don't know, I like the family, like, good versus evil stories. I think those, like, really. Really cool.
I think one of my favorite things about that they included Hela in there is how closely they made Hela and Loki, like, resemble each other. And then, like, there's just a joke across the entire internet. So which one of you is adopted then? Because two of you are dark-haired and seem to be favoring horns and green colors, and one of you is a golden god bronze person. So which one of you is adopted, or...
and then Red Skull, I have a, like, it's actually literally a piece of art that I bought at, I can't remember the name of the store, it went out of business last year, but it was, like, going out of business sale, and it was a comic book cover of Captain America, and it has Red Skull on it, and... Like, I don't know, I saw that and I'm like, I'm buying this for sure. And it hangs up on my wall in my room. And, like, it's, like, one of the coolest things ever. And, like, yeah, it's the movie. Okay, the first Avenger, Captain America, is a solid movie. But compared to the rest of them, it's the worst one, in my opinion. It's still a solid movie, and I would even say it's one of the better origin stories in all of the MCU, too. But the movie is just kind of, I don't know, has this dull feeling to it in a way that it's not, I don't know. I can't really, like, explain how, like, between First Avenger and then Winter Soldier and... Civil War, like, it's not even comparable, like, action, and, like, I don't know, it's weird. I don't, like, I feel like it sounds like I hate this movie, which is not the case at all. I actually just rewatched it not that long ago, and it's a really good movie. But yeah, back to my, what I was saying, Red Skull is definitely, I'm trying to, argue in my head, like, how I could say he's not one besides Thanos, and I can't really think of a good reason right now. So, I like your list. I also had a sidebar.
Sidebar.
So, you know of the new movie that's coming out, Ryan Reynolds, Free Guy?
Yeah.
Did you see the Deadpool reaction to the trailer with Korg?
Yep, I did, of course, because Taika Waititi is once again in the movie with Ryan Reynolds, so it's awesome.
It is awesome, and like you're a Marvel fan, and you haven't seen this video of them reacting to the trailer of Free Guy, go watch it. It is hilarious. I love Korg. He's not even a super big character, but the, like, moments he's in Ragnarok and Endgame are, like, some of my favorite moments in the entire franchise. Like, when he's talking about just like Doug.
Just like Doug.
Holy shit, it's a ghost! Like, Korg is the man.
Okay, so a couple quick things on Korg. A, the greatest thing about Korg from Thor Ragnarok, and it's been confirmed by Taika Waititi, is why he wrote it. His uprising was only not happened. Like, the only reason it happened is he didn't print enough flyers to get enough people, which means that Rock was defeated by paper. And it is all about rock, paper, scissors, because then later, Cor crushes his good friend, who is made of scissors. Yeah. So it's all the rock, paper, scissors metaphor the whole time with Korg. And it's great.
And I like Taika Waititi. Like, he is a really good director. He's a good actor. Like, he has so many good films out there. And I know you still haven't seen Jojo Rabbit. And I still will stand firm that that was the movie of 2019. That was the best movie that came out that year. Scarlett Johansson's really good in it. I mean, fucking Taika Waititi plays Hitler.
I mean, what more do you have to say? What more do you have to say? How is Chad not watch this movie? I don't know.
Go down a rabbit hole of Taika Waititi and watch all his films. He is really good. And I'm very excited for Free Guy. Even though he's not directing it, I'm excited that he's a part of it.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Very excited he's a part of it. And to just way loop back, all the way back to the original topic of villains, I do have to go back and say, I forgot one of the other best villains that ever was created in the Marvel Universe, and that is obviously Killmonger from Black Panther.
Black Panther, yeah.
Yeah.
See, there's so many movies that just it's hard to, like, think.
Yeah. But, like, I had to, like, I looked up the MCU timeline, and looking through it, you can go through the whole timeline and go, nope, don't care. Nope, don't care. Nope, don't care. Nope, don't care. Oh, yeah, shit, I care about that one. And that's why looking back through the timeline, when I was like, oh, fuck, we didn't say Eric Killmonger, we fucked up. Because besides, you know, the ones we've already talked about, Killmonger has the best storyline in any of the Marvel, like, movies as a villain. And his death scene at the end of Black Panther is probably the most poignant of any death scene in the entire series of any of the movies. When he goes, I would rather just die free than live in a cage, and goes, just let me see the sunset or the sunrise. Like, come on, folks. That right there, that is fucking cinema.
I agree.
But yeah, that was really my topic, Diesel. I just really want to talk about how, like, just Marvel kind of fumbles on these villains constantly. They create such great characters constantly, but they just can't seem to, like, steadily create these compelling villains that they could easily seemingly do. It just blows my mind. But it's now your turn to talk. So, Diesel, what is your top rope topic for the week?
So, this one is definitely a change of pace from what we were just talking about. I want to talk about two TV shows in particular that are both, like, so stupid that they're actually smart. Like, and they're two of the funniest shows that you will ever see. And I know Chad's a big fan of both of these. The first show that I want to talk about has been referred to as Seinfeld on crack. And yes, I'm talking about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Like, I just basically want to talk about it. Like, I just want to talk about, like, how funny it is, reminisce on some of the, like, best moments, and, like, just talk about, like, how every character is so dumb that the stories and the writing is so smart because of how dumb the characters are. And just look at Charlie.
The first thing that I want to say about Always Sunny is I found a new fan theory that might be my favorite fan theory of all time. And it is that none of the characters actually look like any of what they actually portray in the show. Because all of them are such unreliable narrators that it doesn't make sense that, like, Dennis is so hot that he should be able to get these females to, like, go on dates with him. And, like, Dee isn't that unattractive. Like, all of them are actually just, besides Danny DeVito's character, look nothing like they're supposed to actually look like in the show. Danny DeVito is the only honest person on the entire show. Funniest show on television, though. But you really need to swallow your, like, sense of, I can't be offended by anything if you're going to watch that show.
I mean, for Dennis, it's all about the implication.
It's all about the implication. But what do you mean? They can't say no. It's all about the implication.
It's there are so many like episodes that are meaningless episodes that are just so funny. It's like everybody's seen Seinfeld, or most people have seen Seinfeld, especially in like our age group. Like, you know that Seinfeld's a show about nothing, and this is a show about nothing, but like amplified to the nth degree. And it's like, it's so crazy. Like, they rarely like end an episode where the episode started. Like, the whole episode, it builds up to this one big joke a lot of the time. Like, for example, the episode where they're trying to find out who actually pooped in the bed between Charlie and Frank.
It was like, funny.
It is. That was the whole point of the episode. Is poop's funny. It is. It really, I like, there's so many good parts about that episode. They had the guy that was dissecting the poop, and they found out that he wasn't even a scientist. He just wanted to do it.
Oh, I just have an obsession with poop. My favorite is Wolf Hair. The Wolf Hair. That could be either of us. That's my favorite part of that whole thing. Oh, it could be either of us. Keep going. Oh, there's blood in here. Oh, it could be either of us. That's inconclusive. Keep going.
The Charlie and Frank dynamic is hilarious. And also, every episode deals with like them as a group, but separated. Like, they'll always pair off, and there's usually one person that is by themselves, or sometimes they'll have a trio, but like it'll be like a Charlie Frank episode, but at the same time, it's a Dennis Mac episode, and Dee's just doing whatever. You're like, sometimes D will be involved. There's just so many different like aspects to the show that it is so funny. And like your favorite episode where Dennis and Mac move in with each other, and like because they couldn't live together for an entire year. And if they did, Frank would pay entire year's rent. And storm is coming.
Have you ever felt a storm? Huh? Hot out today, isn't it, Diesel?
Max famous mac and cheese.
Just box mac and cheese?
You're eating the dog, Dennis. There's so many good episodes. Like, right from the get-go, like, first season was good, but you could definitely tell there was something missing. And they added Danny DeVito into the second season. It was so great that, like, his character was normal at the beginning. Like, he just wanted to party all the time, and
he wanted to feel the grunge.
And like, you get to the third season, then he gets weird with it. And that's one of my favorite lines from the entire series, too. He's like, I'm getting old. I don't know how much longer I have left, so I'm just going to get weird with it.
And that's when they start drinking wine out of a can. And that's that whole, they're like, this is actually a really great decision. And then the whole episode, they all have wine-stained faces. And it's just a hilarious aesthetic.
The episode, The Gang Gets Invincible was it's just nuts. They're trying out for the Eagles, have the fake Donovan McNabb, yet Frank, who took some acid,
until Dennis and Mac moved to the suburbs, The Gang Gets Invincible was my favorite episode for the longest time, because the moment when Frank goes, hey, Charlie, you feeling this yet? And Charlie goes, what do you mean feeling anything? I'm just sitting here chilling out. He's like, oh, I spiked that beer with a bunch of acid. Oh, those little pieces of paper? Yeah, those. I've been drinking all of those.
And he's like locked in the bathroom, the camper.
It's
the first episode of Green Man. Holy shit, it's a lizard. Where?
Where? Frank beat your gun. Oh yeah.
The Christmas special. If you've never seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Chad's right. You definitely have to like turn off your I'm gonna be offended, you know, because I mean that's kind of the point of the show.
Yep.
But I mean, if you have like any sense of humor and you're able to do that, like it's almost in a weird way, it's so smart that it's mocking all of that stuff. Like, I mean, I'm not sure if they came up with this idea and the show started today, it would make it because of the times we live in. But I mean, it's not done yet. Like, they have never said that it's over. And from last I've heard, there's still plans for another season. So.
I can't think of what the episode's called, but when they have the trial over science versus religion. Like, that episode, I can't think of what it's called. But it's, like, so idiotic, but it's what everyone does. It's so smart, it's idiocy. That's exactly a great way to put it, Diesel, that it's exactly genius in its idiocy.
Over the course of my life, since the show come out, I have quoted it so many different times in so many different situations, and sometimes when the situation didn't even warrant it, I would quote something somebody said on this show. Like
Carol,
or like whenever anybody brings up diabetes, my first thought is diabetes. Why are you saying it like that? Don't stop saying diabetes.
Stop saying it like that. You fucking cow. Oh, man.
DFM bitch.
Because I killed the fat bitch. Who's causing all the traffic?
Oh, man, there's just so many. It's, like, outrageous. And you, like, you can never predict what's going to happen next because they're good at, like, you think you know what they're doing. But you don't even in the gang saws of the gas crisis, at the end, the first time you see it, when, spoilers, if you haven't seen the show, I'm definitely ruining it, when, like, they go to stop the van, and they have no brakes, like, right away, I was like, oh, no, what's happening? And then Charlie admits to it, you need the wild card, bitches. Yeah. Where we get that from? But, like,
such a great show. The whole segment from this show is from Always Sunny in Philadelphia? Wacky.
I mean, when when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, like, Charlie, like, in the bar,
No, the fact, I didn't want to bring it up because it still hurts me to this day. The fact that D getting pink eye is apparently the reason that Tom Brady fumbled that ball, because somehow the towel that D used to wipe her pink eye fucking face is the one that got down to Tom Brady on the field, and that caused him to fumble the ball. And they were actually at that game. It's just a fucking whole bunch of meta commentary that I can't handle. I just can't handle it.
There is so much from that show. Like, we could spend hours just, like, talking about every episode. And, like, we could dissect a ton of episodes. There's probably not many episodes that we would even forget about. Like, we could go, like, maybe not in order, but we could, like, talk about the majority of the episode, just sit here all night and talk about them. Because we've seen them that many times, and we've watched them together, and, like, we've laughed at how stupid they are. And every time you watch it, it's just as funny, even when you know what the joke is going to be. Like we've used whenever we named an episode twice, we've used the electric boogaloo thing. Yep. I mean, because they stole it, but we stole it from them.
Yep.
Because, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's 100% an Always Sunny reference.
Charlie McDennis.
Yep. Charlie McDennis, too. Electric boogaloo.
There's so many great episodes, and it's so funny, and it's so smart, and it does piss some people off. But
I won't lie. So one of my favorite things about Always Sunny in Philadelphia is my wife, Allison, doesn't love the show, but at a point she absolutely hated it. And I remember one of the first episodes that I watched with her around was Charlie McDennis 2, when they are doing the full-on, like, Samoan war dance, and they are just screaming. And I, like, the TV turned up pretty loud, and she literally looks at me and goes, "What the fuck are you watching right now, Chad?" And I'm like, it's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's hilarious. She goes, "This is the worst fucking shit I have ever seen." And you know what, folks? She watched a few more episodes, then a few more episodes, and then, you know what? She finds it funny. She doesn't love it, but she can see where the hilarity comes into the show. So it's one of those things where, yeah, it's very abrasive at first, but if you let it get down and wear you down for a moment, then you can see the greatness that is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
On that note, I will bring up the second show that I want to talk about that is also really stupid but smart at the same time. I want to talk about Malcolm in the Middle. Growing up, I loved that show. And, like, the characters in this show, like, each one of them are special in their own way. Like, the biggest gripe I probably have with Malcolm in the Middle is how drastically they changed Dewey. Because at the beginning, Dewey is one of the best characters. He's hilarious. But then all of a sudden they make him smart and he's not funny anymore. But, I really like the relationship between Francis and Lois. Francis does not need to be on that show. Like, he doesn't need, he's just an extra character, but, like, the show wouldn't be the same without him. Like, for the majority of the show, they're just, like, talking to him over the phone, and then he has his own separate storyline going on when he's at the military academy, when he's in Alaska, when he's doing whatever. It's almost weird when he's with the family. Like, it's almost not right, but, like...
Dude, he's the classic older brother who isn't their storyline, but they actually fucking show it for some reason in Malcolm in the Middle. Like, all the, like, classic sitcoms have that older brother or, like, sibling or cousin or something who's away doing something else. But they actually fucking show it in Malcolm in the Middle.
One of my favorite scenes from that show is the scene where they're at... Francis is at military academy and they're singing Candyman. I don't know why, but I just love that scene when Spangler is like directing with his hook. It's just a great scene. And then like Reese is like from episode one to the very final episode, he didn't change one bit, and he didn't need to change one bit. Like, he was perfect. Like, his role was just the idiot that was there for comic relief, and every time he did something, it was hilarious. Like, Malcolm was the worst character on the show. I mean, he wasn't horrible, but, like, out of, like, all of the family members, he was the worst. And besides Jamie, that doesn't count. But the best character on the entire show is definitely Hal. Like, all the stuff that he got, like, my favorite Hal episode probably is the one where he was on trial for money laundering. Because, where he worked blamed it on him. And, like, he was facing a bunch of time in jail. And then they come to find out that Dewey saved the day because they found out that every day, like, people were taking money, happened on a Friday, and he had proof and receipts and, like, ticket stubs for every Friday because he skipped work every single Friday, and for him being a bad employee, yep, saved him from going to prison. Like,
yep.
It's, like, one of my favorite Hal episodes, or the Domino episode. That was a good one, too.
Oh, like, man.
I can't believe that's the same guy that played Walter White, too.
No, that's the thing. It's absolutely insane. And that's how he almost didn't get cast in Breaking Bad. Because they said, no one's going to believe you as a, like, crazy drug lord. And he went, hold on, hold my beer. And then he did Breaking Bad.
I mean, from, like, those two characters, you could use that as an example that he is one of the best actors of our generation. Like, yeah, he never became like a huge movie star, and he's in some movies, but like between those two characters, his range, Like, there isn't, like, a, like, they're polar opposites. They couldn't be further apart from each other. Hal and Walter White, like, it is crazy. And you watch Breaking Bad, you don't think, like, this is the guy that played Hal on Malcolm in the Middle. Like, yeah.
What is the darkness, and one is an idiot, all right?
And then the spoof at the end of Breaking Bad where they have Hal wake up in bed and it was all a dream. I loved it. If that was the way it would have ended, I wouldn't have been mad about it.
No. The thing about Malcolm in the Middle that a lot of people throw a lot of shade at that show was groundbreaking, and so many film techniques have been stolen from that show since then. That was one of the first shows that did the full-on fourth wall break with the person narrating their own show. And that's where it's all from. We have so many shows nowadays that do that. And it's all from Malcolm in the Middle. And also Malcolm in the Middle, like, developed the entire dysfunctional family dynamic. Like, they were the first show that were like, no, families aren't all happy all the time. Like, before that, every family on TV was like, oh, yes, we're all so happy. We all love each other. Oh, we have small sibling rivalries once in a while. Malcolm Middle was like, no, fuck this. I don't like that guy anymore. I am going to super glue his face to the floor if I get a chance. Because I just watched a clip, which is one of my favorite clips of all time, is when Reese and Malcolm, like, it's when Hal is babysitting them because she's gone for the weekend. And he reads a story from the newspaper that says, oh, someone super glued someone's face to the floor. Where would someone get such an idea? And then Malcolm and Reese don't sleep for the next, like, 72 hours because both of them are going to super glue the other one's face whenever they get a chance. And it's just hilarity. It is absolute just, it's not, once again, the most highbrow of shows, but it is just hilarious. It's good times. I also love me some Malcolm in the Middle.
There's like little things too, like they don't tell you what their last name is. They don't tell you where they live. They're like things that are big, like focal points in other shows, they like intentionally leave out, which is cool because a lot of times, like where the characters are at has like plot lines for the show and why the character is the way they are. You don't know where they're at. Like, they just live in a trashy place. And like, but they had some good like side characters too. Like Craig, it's hilarious. Stevie and Stevie's dad, hilarious. Like,
what's that kid's name who talks like this?
That's Stevie.
That is Stevie. Okay, I thought it was. I couldn't remember if it was Stevie or not. I haven't watched the show in a while. I'm sorry.
No, yeah. But I mean, like, that's another show that we have watched. Like, I know I've seen every single episode with you because we would watch it, like, on a continuous loop, like, every single day. Because FX, like 2008, 2009, FX during the day played Bernie Mac Show, King of the Hill, right? That 70s Show, and Malcolm in the Middle.
Yep.
Those four shows just every day, every afternoon, and we would sit there and watch them every single day. And we watched them all the way through multiple times, and we never got sick of them because those four shows are amazing.
Classics. You were around those days. And they are all very topical humor at that time. So, hilarious stuff. Just love it. Bernie Mac Show, another classic that, oh, I could rewatch a Bernie Mac Show right now.
America!
America!
I actually thought about putting it on one day because, yeah, it's been years since I've seen the Bernie Mac Show, but that show is hilarious. RIP to that guy.
Oh,
he left this world way too soon.
And he's so good in the Oceans movies, too. I love Bernie Mac.
Yeah, his star was on the rise. Like, he wasn't to his, like, highest, like, fame yet. Like,
I mean, he was one of the original kings of comedy, which is insane that his star was still rising as an original king of comedy.
I know, but like he was really famous, but like he still had a lot left in the tank. Like Mr. 3000, horrible movie, but it's about the Brewers, so you gotta love it.
It's so good. Any baseball comedy movie is great. Everyone knows. Doesn't have to be the best storyline. It's all about the characters in that movie. Superb characters, every one of them.
The Brewers are playing for third place.
Yep.
Like, you don't see that in movies. They're always going for the pennant. Not in this movie.
Nope. They're like the Brewers. That's
how bad the Brewers were historically at this time. Yep. That they were celebrating getting a third place finish in the season.
D-Rex Pennebaker, baby.
Yeah, man. It's a good movie. I guess that's all I got.
All right. Well, I guess that means that's the end of your top rope main topic. I think it's time to move on to
Wild Card, bitches.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, we did steal that from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's Wild Card time. So, Diesel, what you got, buddy?
To be honest with you, it was hard enough thinking of a TV topic that I totally neglected that we needed a wild card topic. So I can go with mine from last week, or I can go with, like, what are you snacking on?
Well, I have, I guess, man, I had a real top rope top, like a wild card, and they threw me so off. What are you snacking on? Made me laugh. Oh, man, that's rough. So for my wild card topic this week, oh, I got it. My wild card topic is Money in the Bank is this Sunday. Do you give a shit?
Well, we can talk about that. Get a little bit of wrestling on a wrestling podcast. Do I give a shit? A little bit.
Hey!
And here's why. It's in front of fans. It's not at the Thunderdome. And I probably am going to watch it. I'm not going to watch it live because I won't be home at the time when it's on. But I'll probably watch it Monday morning and have it on in the background while I'm doing some work on Monday. But, like, with them having fans, it does excite me a little bit. There are reports that there's going to be some surprises. So, like, I'm always down for surprises when it comes to wrestling. Hopefully they're not bad ones. There better be surprises because WWE's been pretty shit. And there's also been reports that they've just been waiting to go back in front of fans, and they have better stuff planned, which I do not believe, because before fans, before the pandemic, it was pretty shaky. So, like, I do give a shit a little bit. If they go the direction I want them to go, which is Big E winning the Money in the Bank, a briefcase, I will be happy. I mean, there's other options too where I'll be happy, but that's what I want. I want Big E. I want to get Big E versus Bobby Lashley, or even Big E versus Kofi. What if Kofi wins? Like, I'm not even 100% sure that Kofi isn't going to win at Money in the Bank after the end of Raw. And so, like, what if it did set up between Big E cashing in on Kofi? Like, I know that the New Day personally never want to break up, but from a storyline standpoint, that could be pretty fucking sweet. But it also could be sweet that Big E, like, gets his revenge for his friend by cashing in the Money in the Bank. And maybe they break up that way and Kofi turns heel and goes with MVP or something like that. What if, here's a thought, what if MVP turns on Bobby Lashley like Paul Heyman did to Brock Lesnar versus Big Show, and Kofi Kingston goes heel at Money in the Bank and is managed by MVP? That would be pretty sweet. I'm not going to lie.
Damn. That is, wow. That's some way old school booking on that. And it's like 100% like, what the WWE would do, and it would be awesome. if MVP turned on Bobby Lashley to let Kofi Kingston win over him? My answer is, I also actually 100% give a shit, because I think this is the chance for the WWE to show us that this is a turning point. This is the first show back with fans. This is the first time the WWE is going to be out of the Thunderdome era of this and everything like that. This is where they can prove to us that they actually give a fuck. Because let's be really honest, folks. When was the last time they showed us that they gave a fuck?
And they didn't even show us at WrestleMania when they were in front of people, you know?
Yeah, exactly. This is their first shot, and I think probably only shot to really reinvigorate a very placid fan base who is not happy with a lot of things that are going on. And but with what they have set up, they are set up to make us happy. They're set up to show us something that this can be great. They have one of the greatest rosters that has ever been assembled in the history of all time of professional wrestling. Like, from top to bottom, from jobber to main eventer, every one of these guys and women on this roster are amazing. Like, they can do so many great things. Like, but I think this is their chance. So I give a fuck. I really do. I think this is the last chance for them to show us, though, that they also give a fuck. All right. Any other thoughts, though, Diesel?
No, I think that your wild card was a good topic, because I've been putting some thought into it this past week on how I actually, for the first time, probably since WrestleMania, I have a little bit of excitement for WWE. Like, I didn't watch the last two pay-per-views. I couldn't. And I'm, from what I hear, that was a very good decision on my part. Short of NXT, I haven't watched WWE programming since April. And that was WrestleMania. That was the last thing I watched. Sat down, last show I watched, that was WWE. And that's crazy. And So I will be watching this weekend. I will see what happens in Money in the Bank. So I really hope I'm not disappointed. And part of me feels like I won't be. I hope I'm not wrong.
Yeah. I really do hope that WWE does have been holding their cards back, if you will, and are now ready to show the royal flush that they have been holding back from the rest of us, because they need to. They need to do this for all of us and for themselves. I guess they don't really care, but I think for the fans, we need them to do this. But yes, with that will wrap up Top Rope Topics for this week's episode of number 211. Holy fuck, we've done 211 episodes of this podcast. But with that, usually I get to say some other things. We're just going to roll right into the final segment, because we do all the social media stuff there. So, monkeys in the back, hit that sound effect. All right, as that sound effect tells you, it is now time for final thoughts. So, Diesel, what have you for us this week?
I am very excited to watch Loki right after we're done recording. I'm very excited for game 4 of the NBA Finals. Hopefully the Bucks can take it and tie the series at 2. Also, this weekend, I'm going up north, I'm going 4 hours up north to Emily's stepmom's family cabin. I am going to be working from there on Friday, which is kind of lame, but like, didn't want to use vacation time. So I'll bring my laptop up there with me and do some work while I'm up there. But I'll have all day Saturday to fish and do some water activities as long as the weather is cooperative. I haven't looked at the forecast, so I should probably do that. But so it should be a good weekend. Sometimes I enjoy long drives like that too, especially going up north and like going into like foresty areas and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. Just gotta watch out for deer, because that's the thing here in Wisconsin. Deer all over the highway. But other than that, I don't have any dinner plans. I don't know what I'm gonna do. And I'm starting to get a little hungry, so I should probably figure that out. Yeah, and like I said, I'll probably watch Money in the Bank on Monday morning when I get up, because we'll be heading back home Sunday, and I'll probably be pretty exhausted by the time we get home after a four-hour drive. That even if I attempt to watch Money in the Bank, I'll probably end up dozing off. So I'd rather get some rest and just watch it with a fresh mind on Monday morning.
That makes sense. Yeah, for my final thoughts, I haven't talked about it much, but I have clearly been watching Exandria Unlimited from Critical Role, the, you know, 8-part series they have with Abrea doing the DMing. And I've also been watching from Dimension 20's Misfits and Magic, which also has Abrea being the game master. So I will be watching both of them this week, because they Misfits and Magic comes out tonight as we record. And Critical Role's episode comes out tomorrow when this episode drops, so I'll be watching both of those. As to what I'm having for dinner this evening, I will be enjoying a wonderful, what do we call it? It's a Zuppa Toscana soup. That is the soup from Olive Garden that Allison found a recipe for, so that's what Allison and I will be having for dinner. Because it is a rainy day here in Wisconsin, so a nice hearty soup and some garlic bread felt right to have for dinner. Besides that, Loki, obviously, I already watched the season finale. I'm just now getting excited for the What If series that is coming in August. That is many moons away at this point, it feels. So just have to wait in just absolute stasis, which sucks. Besides that, though, I'm just going to keep planning my D&D campaign, because I have so many thoughts. But Diesel, why don't you do some social media stuff so we can get on out of here for the evening?
You can follow me on Twitter at Diesel_VFTR. You can follow Chad on Twitter at Chad's_mind or at View From Top Rope. Follow us on Facebook or Instagram by searching View From The Top Rope Official. We're on YouTube at View From The Top Rope. viewfromtoprope@gmail.com is our email address. You can follow Visionaries Global Media on Twitter at Viz Global Media. visionariesglobalmedia@gmail.com is where you'll be sending your podcasts in for me to listen to, and then we will add you to the network where you will be heard on podcasting platforms such as Stitcher, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podable, and Podknife.
And just so many others. Just type in Visionaries Global Media, and you will find us on a podcasting platform you enjoy. As always, we thank all of you amazing high flyers out there for tuning into this insanity that we call a podcast. We hope we have helped get you through that workout you were doing, that annoying workday where your boss kept bitching at you, that family dinner where you just wanted to ignore anyone, or whatever else you were doing while you were listening to this podcast. As always, I have been Chad. He has been Diesel. Make sure to enjoy life out there. Be kind. Run fast. And as always, enjoy the view from the top rope.